Now, as the Lord would be pleased to help us, we would seek to consider words that you will find in the chapter read in your hearing, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. And we may read just now at verse 17. Proverbs, chapter 17, and at verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Solomon is here praising the virtue of friendship, true, sincere friendship, and constancy in friendship. A friend loveth at all times. How true friendship it will endure even in the hardest and most difficult of times. And he also speaks of the benefit and the blessing of kinship. Brothers helping one another. Brothers in times of need and in times of trouble. Rallying round, as it were, to help their brethren in times of trial and affliction. A brother is born for adversity. And the tie between brothers and sisters and parents and children is very strong in nature. It's one of the strongest ties in this world. All these ties will be dissolved at death. But when we are in this world, it is a good thing. The Lord has established us in families, and that's to help us in natural things. But when we apply it to spiritual things, the love of the brethren is a very precious and blessed aspect of the Christian life. Brothers helping one another. Behold how good a thing it is, and how becoming well together such as brethren are in unity to dwell. Now, naturally speaking, a friend a friend in this world is tested by how they respond in times of adversity. You see there in verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. If you can trust someone, that is a measure of the depth of your friendship, how much you can tell that person, how much that person can tell you in confidence. But as we will come to try to say, if you have Christ as your friend, if you have Christ as your elder brother, there are things you can tell him that you could not tell even your closest friends in this world. And there are times when friends, it will not be as friendly, or they are not able, even however much they are constant in their affection, when they will not be able to give you the help and the affection and the support and the kindness that you would desire. And there are times even when brothers become estranged. You see that in the next chapter, chapter 18 and at verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. When sin enters in, even the best things in nature become exceedingly bitter. But you see, sometimes when we're let down by our family, a spiritual friend will help. And the love of the brethren in that way, spiritually, is a consolation. But there are times when even that cannot address our needs. When there is no mortal flesh that can help us in a time of adversity. But you see, when we think of these words, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, we're to think of the words at the end, again, of chapter 18. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is that? That's the perfect friend. That's the perfect brother. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he never lacks sympathy. And he never lacks constancy. He never lacks affection and love for those who trust in him. And he is able and ready to help us. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are. He can enter into the very depths of the adversities of his people in a way that no friend, however spiritual, however constant, however wealthy and able to help us and relieve our needs, however they may be, Christ is the perfect friend, the brother born for adversity. And we would like then to say just a few words as the Lord would help us. Speaking from these words, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, to show the constancy of the love of Christ to his people, the constancy of Christ's love to his people. And then in the second place, that Christ is able to deliver his people in all their afflictions. He is born for adversity. He sticketh closer than any brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he shows himself friendly when no other can show themselves friendly. Well, the constancy of Christ's love, is that not a very precious thing? When did that love begin? It says here, a friend loveth at all times. But we're speaking, when we come to speak of the affection and love that is in Christ for his people, it predates all times. It has no beginning, and it will never end. This is true of the love of Christ towards his people. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And there is the constancy of Christ's love established in eternity, in the eternal decree, in the covenant of grace, in the everlasting love between God the Son and God the Father and God the Son. There's no beginning to that love. And therefore, the best friend of all, he loves his people, even when they fell in Adam, even when they fell in sin and there was nothing in them to draw out his love and his affection towards them. There was nothing lovely. When he looked upon the people of God from all eternity, he saw them fallen and ruined in Adam. And his love of pity was drawn out towards them. The affection of Christ, it reaches down to man in his lost, perishing, forlorn, pitiable, disabled, ruined, defiled, abominable condition. He loveth at all times. And he loved his own that were in the world, and he loved them unto the end. Christ's love is not quenched by the many waters that he had to go through in order to prove his love towards them. Christ proves his love. The love of a friend will be proved when it is tested. If a friend deserts you in your time of need, then he's no friend to you, friend. But Christ will never leave nor forsake his people. What were we just singing? For sure the Lord will not cast off those that his people be, neither his own inheritance. Quit nor forsake will he. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Oh, think of all the sins that you are guilty of, Think of all the sins of every one of his people. Think of their unknown sins, the sins that they cannot even see, and Christ saw them all. And he bore them, and he carried them. All the days of old, he bore their sins. From the moment he came into this world to the moment he died on the cross of Calvary, he was the Lamb of God bearing the sin of the world. And he did that in love. And having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end of his very sufferings, to the end of the cross, to the end of the sword of divine justice, and all the fearful smitings of the wrath and curse of God in his holy soul. He loved at all times. He loved in the darkness of Calvary. He loved when he was forsaken of his Father and cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" He loved his people. We remember listening to a recording of a sermon of the late Reverend Lachie MacLeod. And he was saying, if an angel from heaven, it came and saw Christ at Calvary on the cross and said, "What art thou doing here?" He would say, "I'm saving my people from their sins." That's what he was doing on the cross. A friend loving at all times, in the very depths of the times of his own affliction, of his own adversity, when the dreadful fierceness of the wrath of God went over his soul like waters. He loved his own to the very end. And is that love wonderful to you, dear friend? Is it wonderful to you tonight that Christ remained constant in his love? He saw the hatefulness of his people's sins. He saw, if you are believing in Christ, he saw the hatefulness of the sin that he bore for you. He saw the awfulness of the holy wrath of God against it. He saw your unworthiness. He saw your guilt. He saw the pollution and depravity of your heart in every one of these sins. He bore hell for you who are trusting in Christ tonight. He loved you at all times. The rose of Sharon is also the lily of the valleys. In the deepest, darkest valleys of his sorrow, pouring his soul out unto death, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put his soul to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He loved his own. A friend loveth at all times. And what about now? What about today? If you are trusting in Christ, if Christ is precious to your soul, that you will be conscious of your wanderings and your backslidings. You will be conscious of your besetting sins. You'll be conscious of your rebellion. You'll be conscious of an evil heart of unbelief and how much you dishonor Christ and how much you do not trust him. You'll be conscious of these things and how many times you have provoked him and how many times you have sinned against light and mercy and resolutions, how you have sinned against his goodness and his kindness and his patience towards you. And a friend loveth at all times. Whatever provocations you're guilty of, whatever heaven-defying and heaven-daring sins, daring the Lord, as it were, to come out against you, provoking him to come out against you, yet he loveth at all times. Many waters of your sin and corruption, child of God, deep and all, terrible and black and cold and all as they are, they cannot quench his love. We read there in Psalm 89, if my people break my law and do not keep my commandments, I'll visit then their faults with rods, their sins with chastisements. Yet I'll not take my love from him, nor false my promise make. My covenant I'll not break, nor change what with my mouth I speak. If you love Christ, friend, then these words will be very precious to you. What is it meant by these words and your experience will be very wonderful and precious to you. He will not change what he has spoken of the covenant of grace and of mercy towards your soul, because a friend loveth at all times, and even the chastisement, when he visits your faults with rods, secret chastisements, sometimes chastisements that are more open, but you take them as chastisements in your providence and in your experience. What do you say? You say, he dealt not with us as we it deserved. With us he dealt not as we sinned, nor did requite our ill, and the very chastisement is sent in love. Is that not precious? If you're an afflicted child of God on account of your sins, the very chastisement is sent in love to your soul, because whom he loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, because a friend loveth at all times. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. He leaves the wicked to go on in sin. He gives them longer and longer rope, as it were, in the ways of sin to destroy themselves. But he keeps his people on a short tether, because a friend loveth at all times, and he chastises in order to bring them to repentance. He hides his face from them so that they will value what they had of his gracious presence. He will withdraw into the wilderness until they humble themselves and seek his face once more. A friend loveth at all times, when no one else can love you, when no one else can speak in a way that would bring comfort and consolation to your soul in the midst of grief and sorrow. Christ alone is able to speak comfortable words to your soul. A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. A brother born. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name shall be Emmanuel. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's the incarnation of the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, made of a woman and made under the law to redeem them who were under the law. A brother born for the day of adversity, for our adversities, seeing the adversity, seeing the ruin, seeing the inability, seeing the danger of mankind. A brother born into this world, the elder brother of the church. Oh, do you not love that truth, friend? Is that not a great wonder to you? Pause for a moment there and admire the great wonder. Take the shoes off your feet and see this great sight. God is manifest in the flesh. Turn aside like Moses when he saw the burning bush not consumed. And we know that that was a picture of God's presence with his church, even in the midst of its deepest adversities. Because a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Even when Egypt was threatening to destroy and devour the Israel of God. But this also we may illustrate, use it as an illustration of the incarnation. Because the human nature, we may say the bush, the plant of renown, it was not consumed, though it was in the closest and is in the closest personal proximity to the divine nature. The person of the Son of God, God and man, two distinct natures in one person, the humanity is not consumed because he's a brother born for adversity. He's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Oh, do you not desire to worship him, that he took your nature? He did not take this the nature of angels. He took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham, because he would be a brother born for adversity, for the sons of men. And when you, as Israel of old, were in the furnace of affliction, is Christ not a brother born for the day of your adversity then? When you were in trials and sorrows, when you're under his chastening hand perhaps, when you feel it deserted in your soul of all the comfortable presence of the Lord, and you're saying, is it true that the Lord has forgotten to be gracious and fails his mercy evermore? Christ proves himself to be a brother born for adversity. He takes his people through the fiery trial, the trial of their faith be more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And when his people suffer for their adherence to the truth, when adversity and affliction and persecution come upon them, they go to the one who was taken from prison and from judgment. They go to the one who is able to have fellow feeling with them, who was despised and rejected of men, those who are despised for Christ's sake, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. They did it to the prophets before them, but they did it to Christ most of all. Marvel not that the world hate you. They hated me before they hated you. And he is the brother born for adversity. And we believe this is true of many of the Lord's people when they suffer the reproach for his sake, when they're enabled by grace to make a stand for truth and for uprightness. It is often then when their names are being cast out as dirt by the sons of men that the gracious presence of the Lord is very sweet and near in their experience. He gives consolations. He holds them up. He enables them to endure to the end all the reproach and the scornings. Fear not, for I am with thee, he says, and no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, because a brother is born for that adversity. Oh, think of the people of God and all their experiences, brought to an end of themselves, emptied from vessel to vessel. They brought to realize that they have no help of man at all in all the great adversities and sufferings and afflictions they must go through in this world, in the mortification of sin, in their conflicts with the devil, in the great work of sanctification, which is opposed continually. He is a brother born for adversity. Think of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Was that not a time of adversity, friend? When they were at the Red Sea, they'd just been delivered out of the furnace of affliction, and Pharaoh is behind them with his great host, and the Red Sea is ahead of them, and they're closed in on every side. There appears to be mountains on the other sides. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? But there's a brother born for adversity in the camp of Israel. And he is a pillar of cloud and fire. And he divides between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And he shows that he is stronger than the devil. He's the stronger than the strong man armed, a brother born for adversity. And the outcome of it is that Pharaoh and his rider are cast into the sea, and the children of Israel go dry shod, and they come out on the other side unscathed. And so it will be with the Israel of God in all their conflicts with the world and Satan and sin, because there is a brother born for adversity to take them through all their trials. Joseph, in the prison, he was in adversity for many, many years. But there was a brother born for adversity with Joseph, for the Lord was with Joseph. And look what was the outcome there. He was raised up not only to great preferment and honour in Egypt, that's one thing. But he was the saviour of the world at that time. That's what one way of looking at his name, his Egyptian name, a saviour for the world. He saved his own father and brethren from the famine. The Lord had a purpose of mercy. And he was a brother born for adversity. The one who was forsaken and hated murderously by his own brethren was raised up to be a saviour. Is that not a wonderful picture of Christ, friend? Who came unto his own, and his own received him not. But Christ overcame. And those who are united to him will overcome through the strength of him who was born for their adversity. David at Ziklag, when your very friends and followers are about to stone you, David, when you've lost everything, when no one can help you anymore. David encouraged himself in the Lord, in the one who is the brother born for adversity. Paul, in a shipwreck, the Lord stands by him. Paul in Corinth with all his fears. Paul in front of Caesar. Paul in the prison in Rome, twice. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me, he says. All men forsook me, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. These could all prove it. And can you and I prove it, friend, that there is a brother born for adversity? And if he is that to his dear people, in all their needs and in all their afflictions, the angel of his presence redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. If he is that constantly to his people, it's showing his never-failing love towards them, in delivering their feet out of the net time and time again, are you going to trust in Christ yourself? In a day of conviction of sin, when the Lord brings solemn adversity into your conscience and solemn afflictions and trials into your soul's experience with the devil and the flesh and unbelief, that Christ is a brother born for that day. And in a day of conversion, when the Holy Spirit makes Christ precious to your soul, all these things that we've been saying about his love become precious to your soul in that day. He is a brother born for adversity, and his love never fails. Well, we're exhorted, surely, in these words, to love one another, to seek it to be faithful and constant and loving in our friendship, it one with another in the gospel. And that's the great matter, friend. Have you got Christ with you? The best brother and the best friend, a friend of publicans and sinners. Is he your friend in the gospel? May he bless his word to us.